The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 9 degrees at the Loyola campus at Concordia University. I'm Tatiana Minoué-Pelletier, and here's our today's headline. Montreal's emergency rooms are nursing at the seams, a new plan to fight domestic violence, taxing times for Canadians. If you're planning to go to the emergency room today, you might want to reconsider other options. Last week, the occupancy rate in Quebec emergency room reached 121%. With the colder months approaching, the situation could get worse. Our reporter, Chiroma Jessie Badou, joined us live from the Royal Victoria Hospital. So, Chiroma, how are patients reacting to the long wait times?
So, patients are visibly frustrated, and I talked to a woman named Lynn Harkness, who was exiting the emergency room with her husband and son, who you could see the visible fatigue in her face. When she was exiting the room, she was talking about how she was turned away the night before and had to return this morning to get her son into the emergency room.
We're here last night. They sent us home and they sent us back this morning. But I know that a lot of people from last night are still here. So it's like over 12 hours.
Chiroma, why is it so darn crowded in the room, in the emergency rooms?
Just to give you a picture of what the situation is like at the Royal Vic, their current occupancy rating is at 233%, which is one of the highest occupancy ratings here in Montreal. There are a lot of reasons that are contributing to this issue. One of the main issues is the lack of hospital staff, and especially nurses, as well as the ongoing COVID pandemic.
How are hospital staff dealing with this situation?
So I sit outside the emergency room and I try to get myself to talk to some of the emergency staff, but they were very busy and they could not give me the time of day. They're handling the situation the best they can, but it's a struggle for them, and they're doing what they can with the resources available to them, but it is really looking like an uphill battle for them from here on out.
Thanks for the report, Chiroma. A new study published by Statistics Canada reveals that 15% of Canadians who were affected by COVID are still experiencing symptoms 3 months later. This number represents 4.6% of Canadians. The most common symptoms reported are fatigue, shortness of breath, and brain fog. On a better note, the study reveals that long COVID is 2 times least likely to happen since the Omicron variant starts spreading in Canada. This morning, the Canadian government announced measures to prevent and address domestic violence. In a press conference held at Carleton University, two members of parliament presented the measures. A reporter, Lucia, is live with us in the studio to discuss this. Lucia, what is the main message from this press conference?
So the main idea from this press conference was to announce the steps the government will take to prevent domestic violence. I was not able to listen to the actual steps because they started later, but what I was able to gather was, for example, Yasir Naqvi, a member of the parliament from Ottawa Centre, was present, and he talked about what domestic violence means for the government.
It is real, it is obvious, and it is quite prevalent in our community.
What are the implications of domestic violence for those who are affected by it?
So the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister for Women and Gender Equality and Youth, Jenna Suds, spoke about this. She mentioned at the conference that 40% of all violent crime reported to police is domestic in nature. This means that those generally affected by it, women and children, suffer the most as well. She mentioned the following.
So every day in our community and communities across the country, we know that there are children who are afraid to come to school. Women who are afraid to leave an abusive partner.
Were you able to contact any organization to discuss this issue?
Yes, so we were actually able to speak with Isabelle Lamoureux, a librarian from the Simone de Beauvoir Institute, and she had this to share with us.
I don't think the government is doing enough. That in the last few years, there has been more talk.
This announcement comes this morning after a domestic tragedy took place in Laval last night. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes. So after a 911 call last night, police went to a house on Lauzon Street in Sainte-Dorothée. They found the bodies of an 11-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. There was also a 46-year-old man that was arrested in relation to this event. The ties between the children and this man haven't been confirmed yet, but all signs point to a family drama. Erika Landry, the Laval Police Service spokesperson, said the investigation is in progress.
Today marks the 93rd anniversary of women being legally defined as people in Canada. The Simone de Beauvoir Institute at Concordia University is one example of an active promoter of social justice and feminist issues in Montreal. Louise Brun-Newbook spoke with Isabelle Lamoureux from the Institute, who says that there's a lot to celebrate on this day, but it's important to remember how the movement started.
When we think about gender equality today, we automatically think about Earth Day, but on the other hand, without that ruling, we would not be where we are today.
The 1929 Persons Day was exclusive to white, able-bodied women. How well do you think this discrimination for all other women is being addressed today?
Now that we have a different perspective and the possibility of putting different lenses on, I believe that when we talk about equality, we have to talk about equality on many different levels.
The recent Quebec election actually elected 46% of the seats to women, which is the highest ever for a Canadian province. Do you think that this is a step in the right direction? And what is the future for women in politics?
It's not because also it's the women that they're automatically, you know, interested in gender causes or issues. And so it is a step in the right direction, but it will not magically achieve gender equality because suddenly there is more women in politics.
Do you feel that there is still a gap in gender equality today despite progress since 1929? Is there more that can be done?
Yes, there always can be something to be done, such as pay equity. It's still not achieved. We've been talking about it for about 35 years now, and there are still gaps in salaries. That is something that could be addressed faster.
This was Luz speaking with Isabelle Lamoureux from Simone de Beauvoir Institute.
Je, Dominique Anglade, déclare solennellement que je serai fidèle et porterai vraie allégeance à Sa Majesté le Roi Charles III.
The Quebec Liberals were sworn in at the National Assembly in Quebec City this morning. Dominique Anglade, the PLQ leader, was the first to swear allegiance to the Crown. This afternoon, the CAQ 90s MNAs will be sworn in. On Thursday, François Legault will announce his new cabinet. This morning, unions around the province have gathered together to protest the lack of mention of education and health promises in campaigning this election.
This morning at 7 a.m., the CSQ, along with other unions of Montreal, protested in front of the government party office of Dominique Anglade. Here is Eric Saint-Gras, president of the CSQ Central, who will tell us more.
Est à quelques heures, quelques jours de nommer son nouveau conseil des ministres. Alors on va envoyer un message clair pour ne pas que ce soit une négociation trop longue, mais qu'on s'occupe du personnel, que ce soit en éducation, en santé ou au niveau collégial. Les prochains jours, c'est sûr qu'on va parler de salaire, on va parler de conditions de travail. On voit, là, tout le monde vit cette réalité de la pénurie, tout le monde vit cette réalité au niveau des salaires qui ne suivent pas le coût de la vie au niveau de l'inflation.
Next, let's talk to a political analyst who will weigh in on the situation. Here is Robert Frank.
On the electoral level, the purpose of an election campaign is to get elected, and during that campaign, the various parties who are trying to achieve political power will say what they need in order to either gain or retain political office. Once they're in power, you'll find that more often than not, many political parties and politicians will simply use that power to use their own discretion. There is no compulsion for them to adhere to the promises made during the election.
This was Esther Moran from Concordia News.
A 19-year-old man was arrested after stealing a SUV and sending the SQ into a wild pursuit. The car chase started in Candiac on the A10 around 3:30 this morning, before finally ending in downtown Montreal. The man is facing multiple charges, including assault on police officers with a weapon and hit and run. He was released with condition. Rising cost of groceries combined with high recession risk make people wonder if they pay too much for taxes. According to a new poll, 70% of Canadians think so. Clément Lechat reports.
The study conducted by the Montreal Economic Institute found that only 21% of Canadians think taxes are actually at an acceptable level. Renaud Brossard is the Senior Director of Communications at the Institute. He says the experts' team urges the government to cut taxes as soon as possible.
They're demanding the government to be a little bit more careful with the money that it has. And I think at this point, instead of asking taxpayers to once again tighten their belts, it would rather be time for the government to tighten its belt and to loosen the grip it has on taxpayers' wallets.
Meanwhile, six Montreal's boroughs will raise their revenues from local taxes in 2023, up to 21% in LaSalle. It means property owners and landlords will pay more, and this could impact renters too, according to Inès Benissaya, a community organizer at Popir Housing Committee.
There is a lack of political will to help tenants against that. It's really frightening for the accessibility of the city, of the neighborhood.
Clément Lechat for Concordia News.
There was a new housing report published by CMHC today, and it reflects on the underlying issues the housing industry has been facing in the past year. The report highlights reasons for the scarcity of rental units in the greater Montreal area. Ashka Patel is looking into the story for us. So how are things looking for future renters?
So according to the housing report, there is a 47% decrease in the new constructions for the rental units in the Montreal area. This, in return, is contributing to a higher rent and shortage in rental housing. Political analyst Robert Frank comments on the situation.
Clearly, we see that there is an insufficient response to the need for affordable housing, which is continuing to rise. The problem is that politicians, particularly at the municipal level, are going in the opposite direction, placing onerous restrictions and imposing numerous fees for developers to construct new housing. If something is not done in very, very soon, within 2 years, we'll be facing a considerable crisis in terms of affordable housing.
What are the Housing Committee in Montreal saying about this report?
Even though the report suggests that the decrease in the number of construction is a problem for renters and the major problem for high rent, Inès Benissaya, a community organizer for Propier Housing Committee, has a difference in opinion.
There is a problem because there is a lot of focused on new constructions being like condo or what they call affordable housing. But we see the details of the affordable housing program. It's actually not affordable as...
What does the rental situation look like in the Montreal area?
For the future renters, it does not look much hopeful, with the rental vacancy being somewhere between 0 to 1% in few of the areas. But having said that, if people are looking to rent house in suburbs, there is an increase of 70% in rental construction units in the suburbians.
Thank you for the report. For arts and entertainment news, K-pop BTS group retires to complete military services. Canada is represented at the International Drag Queen Competition, and the SOCAN Awards reveal its annual winners.
That was the Snotty Nose Red Kids, the trap duo from Vancouver that won the new Vince Fontaine Indigenous Song Award at the SOCAN Awards last night. The Sheraton Centre of Toronto hosted the 33rd edition of the awards. Since 1990, the annual event pays tribute to Anglophone and Francophone artists in the Canadian music, cinema, television and dance industries. Two important wins are Drake as the Songwriter of the Year with Wants and Needs and Too Sexy, and an honour to Tom Cochrane with its Cultural Impact Award for his song, Life is a Highway. Well below my chair. That was Swedish artist Reindeer, one of the three artists who will perform at the Fika Festival. Until Sunday, the festival celebrates Scandinavian art and culture with conferences, films, workshop, dance, music, and networking sessions.
I already took Canada over once. Now it's time to take over the world. Since the last time you saw me, I won $100,000.
This is ICC's Kuchar, who is one of the four drag queens from the RuPaul's Drag Race TV show that will represent Canada worldwide. Crave TV just announced the launch of the third season of its series, Canada vs. the World. The country's leading drag queens will face others in the international drag race family starting in mid-November. Special guests and judges will be announced during the season, and episodes will be available in both French and English. The concert of the South Korean K-pop group BTS in Busan on Sunday was the last the band will do in a while. Fans are reacting to the news of their early retirement from mandatory military service. Failure to do so could lead them to prison. Instead, band members will follow individual careers until they plan to come back in 2025. Thank you, Leila. The Habs come from behind to earn another win this season. Monday night drama in the NFL and one of Canada's national sports won't feature at the Summer Games. Rochelle Taylor has its action in sport.
Burn and then the wing dodge. You're going to see a.
You won't be hearing that at the 2025 Canada Summer Games. The event will not feature Canada's national summer sport, lacrosse. The Canada Games Council says that lacrosse will be excluded from the games because it can only allow a limited number of participants.
Here's Eckler, and that is Eckler! Oh! Just refusing to go down. Touchdown, Chargers!
In the NFL, the Chargers were down by 13 points, but still managed to beat the Broncos 19-6. Kicker Dustin Hopkins won the game with a field goal in overtime. The win improves the Chargers' record to 4-2.
He's got a little room. Monahan waits, and Fox scores! Kirby Doyle wins it in overtime with his first goal for the Montreal Canadiens.
The Canadiens improved their record to 2-2 last night with a 3-2 overtime win over the Penguins at the Bell Center. Kirby Doc was able to score in overtime only because Cole Caulfield tied the game after the Habs pulled their goalie with just over 2 minutes left in the third period. And that's all your news and sports.
Thank you, Russell. Looks like inflation is also hitting the North Pole this year. New findings from Deloitte show that Canadians intend to spend close to 20% less this holiday season. On average, Canucks plan to spend $1,500 less than for Christmas expense, including on gifts, gift cards, and groceries. This represents a decrease of 300 from 2021. Of all the regions, Quebecers will be spending less, the least, 300 below the national average. People will be cutting their spending on electronics, trips, and clothes for themselves. You will need to carry an umbrella until the late afternoon today. It'll be sunnier tomorrow with a windy 12 degrees, but the rain starts again on Thursday with light showers and with gusts of wind reaching 51 kilometers per hour. Friday, we will have a cloudy day with the sun reappearing throughout with a high 13 degrees. We will be spoiled with a sunny weekend with temperatures as high as 18 degrees. That was your news for 11 degrees. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Tatiana Mirabitsi.